Thank you. I told him I'm a swap master. Swap computers real quick. All right, so yeah, we've had now two presentations really laddering up to this. So we've seen how the tobacco industry is really targeting subcultures, particularly saw a lot of evidence of how both the tobacco industry as well as the culture itself is reinforcing values within hip-hop culture to use tobacco use. Megan did a great talk about just kind of understanding the theoretical foundation of peer crowds and how it is that peer crowds can be used in a public health setting to counteract some of these trends and commercial marketing techniques that are going on. And now let's see some examples of how that can actually happen. My disclosure, as you heard from Megan, is I work for Rescue Social Change Group, and we're a behavior change marketing agency that works exclusively with public health organizations. And so the campaigns I'm going to show you today are campaigns that we developed on behalf of a couple different health agencies. So I think, you know, we can't reiterate this point enough that you've already heard, which is the commercial industry has been using these tactics for decades. And so while we're just learning that not everybody is the same, the tobacco industry knew this, you know, 50 years ago and has been using this to manipulate people to begin smoking. And it's just now that we're actually starting to talk about how it is that we can break this association between people's identities and who they see themselves as and tobacco use, as well as other behaviors. Tobacco is not alone here. The alcohol industry does it. The forthcoming marijuana industry, I'm sure, will do it. All of these groups that are, you know, fast food companies do it. Like, this is how marketing works. And so we see the tobacco industry with, you know, targeting country culture and being macho and manly, targeting hip hop culture, as you've heard, targeting alternative culture. But I think one of the points that we don't always really quite capture is that these individual tobacco companies have multiple brands that they're using to sell the exact same product, right? So it's the same stick of tobacco, but one is called Virginia Slims, the other one is called Marlboro, the other one is called Cool or Camel or whatever it is. And they have found in their, you know, kind of very rigid business analysis process that it is worth repackaging, remarketing, reestablishing an entirely new brand in order to get to this other group of people that they couldn't get to with their other dozen brands that they have. And this is just a sample. This isn't even all the brands that Philip Morris or R.J. Reynolds have. And so with this in mind, so keep in mind, here's the tobacco industry, but it goes beyond the tobacco industry. There has never been a brand, not Nike, Coke, Apple, Google, that has ever appealed to everybody. So why is it that in public health, we continue to attempt to reach everybody with a single brand, right? Apple can't do it for its billions of dollars of surplus that it has every year. But with our $25,000, we're going to do this, right? It's just not possible. It's just not psychologically possible. We are all different. But we don't need a brand for every individual person. Thanks to the internet, thanks to mass communications, thanks to these brands to a certain extent, people are pretty well organized into different groups. Now, we've been talking a lot about youth and young adults, but the same goes for adults. We just don't do as much research in that area, but adults have their own peer crowds as well. And it's just a matter of understanding who these are, who they are, so that we can figure out which group we should be talking to. Because otherwise, we end up talking to who we're most familiar with, and we tend to be most familiar with healthy, low-risk people, right? So we end up talking to that group. So segmentation is what the commercial world does to find these groups and to decide who they're going to talk to, who they're going to target. And so this is a little bit of data on peer crowds from Virginia. And so in 2011, we did a statewide representative sample with the Virginia Foundation for Healthy Youth to try and understand the peer crowds throughout the state. And this year, in the Virginia Youth Health Survey, which is their equivalent of the YRBS, this same instrument to measure peer crowds has been added to it. So in about 6 months, we're going to have YRBS equivalent data of peer crowds in Virginia, which is super exciting. But for now, back to 2011. So we have preppy, mainstream, hip-hop, alternative, and one more peer crowd here, country, which is our more kind of traditional teen. So you can kind of see the sizes of what we observed in Virginia. And this is still, you know, a very new instrument, very new science. So these are kind of rough estimates of how much influence there is. Now note that these do not add up to 100%. And that's because youth share influence between more than one peer crowd. A lot of them do. Some of them will fall exclusively in one of these groups, but a lot of them mix more than one crowd. When we look at tobacco use, we see big differences. So we see alternative teens are smoking at about 30%, while mainstream teens are only smoking at about 10%. Now, if you're looking at the numbers here and kind of doing the math, you're like, well, but there's still a lot of preppy teens smoking here. And that's true. But the question is, why are they smoking? Are they smoking because they want to be more preppy? Or are they smoking because they're getting an influence from somewhere else? And that was really what we wanted to answer with this study. And so the way that we measure peer crowds is we use these surveys with photos, and youth get scores for every peer crowd. So it's a continuous variable, so we can do a nice regression on each peer crowd and how likely or unlikely they are to use tobacco. And what we see is pretty startling. So when you look at just cigarette smoking, for every point that you go up on what we're calling the preppy scale, which is a 12-point scale, your risk of smoking cigarettes goes down 15%. If for every mainstream point you get, your risk goes down 24%. But if you're hip-hop, alternative, or country, it goes up 5, 6, or 5%. Right? So if you are a parent, aim for mainstream. All right? This is the team that you want. When we look at chew tobacco, similar pattern, except for the risk is different. It's only amongst country teens that we see elevated risk associated with the peer crowd. 18% for every point increase. Cigarillos, aligned with what we heard from Ann about what the conversation is in rap music as well as the tobacco industry, we're seeing a 14% increase in cigarillo use amongst hip-hop youth and not seeing that increase necessarily amongst the other peer crowds. And for any tobacco use, you see the summary there. So if we look at this as epidemiologists and we treat tobacco use as a virus or a disease, what we would be doing is saying, take me to the country kids, take me to the alternative kids, so that we can kind of fight the epicenter of where tobacco use is spreading from. But for some reason, that kind of part of public health hasn't transferred over to health communications. And health communications continues to be reaching everybody possible, right? But if we had an outbreak of malaria in San Diego, we wouldn't be vaccinating the whole country. We'd be targeting where it is and stopping it before it spreads. And that's the same thing that we look at when we see peer crowds is it's spreading culturally from a specific place. And we can target it. We just have to first understand that people are different and then understand, well, what makes them different. And the really great thing about peer crowds is that it's like a prism. It shows you the different values that these different youth have. And this is critical when you're developing health communications messages, right? We want our messages to appeal to who these folks are so that we can connect what they want with what we want them to do. But when we look at these values, they're totally different for these different groups. So, for example, a value like companies and corporations should be able to do whatever they want, the alternative kids really disagree with this. So a typical anti-tobacco industry campaign works well for alternative teens. But country teens, forget about it. They agree with this. This is America, and they should be able to do whatever they want in America, right? And so that means that our anti-industry message doesn't work with country teens because they don't share that same value that the alternative kids have. And it goes down the line. You know, as we look at different values and different messages that we're creating, they work differently with different groups. So it's not just about what something looks like. It's also about what we're saying and how we're connecting to their identity. So to get to the examples, we call these campaigns, we call them social branding, and it's just a process of identifying a specific health behavior with a peer crowd value within a specific group. So we're targeting one peer crowd at a time purposely, just like the commercial world does. And our goal is to reprogram these cultural norms, just like the commercial industry's goal is to do that with each one of their campaigns. And so let's jump into kind of an example. So when we first started working in Virginia, there was a single campaign, and it was called Why Do You Think? And it was targeting all teens in Virginia. And we'd made some commercials for it, too, and we were working on it as we were understanding more about peer crowds. And this is typically what kind of Why Do You Think? Ads looked like. Okay, so kind of a typical, now this one's like health appearances and stuff, kind of fact. Who is the peer crowd that you saw in that ad? Mainstream, maybe preppy if you're lucky, right? And this is the group that most commercial kind of teen-targeted health campaigns, whether you're looking at tobacco, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, most of the time, this is who they depict, the middle-of-the-road teenager. However, as we see from the data, the middle-of-the-road teenager tends to be at lowest risk for a lot of the behaviors that we're targeting. What we really want to reach is hip-hop, alternative, and country teens, depending on what our behavior is. So what we worked on with Virginia is to develop, on the one side, they have their kind of youth engagement program, which supports policy change and does all those wonderful things that CDC wants us to do. And then we have, on the other side, really honing in on the high-risk groups. And so for the alternative crowd, we have a campaign called Psych. For the country crowd, we have a campaign called Down and Dirty. And for hip-hop, we had a campaign called Fresh Society. It has been paused now that the FDA's hip-hop campaign has launched, and I'll show you a little bit about that. And that one's called Fresh Empire, so they're close there. And so this is how, so let's take a look. Now think about that last video you saw. Now here is what something for a country teenager looks like.
Dad had been rotten. This truck, my work ethic, my shop, but our time was cut short when I lost him to mouth cancer, caused by dipping. People say I remind them of him. I can see why. But when it comes to dip, we're not the same. Because I plan to be around a lot longer than he was. You know, I think he'd be good with that. My life, my legacy, will be tobacco free.
So, besides just kind of the visuals of it looks pretty country, we're really tapping into some country values, which is, you know, kind of family and legacy and what it means and kind of the idea of that things are handed down within your family and this notion that chew is handed down within these kind of rural families and addressing that directly, right? Showing this message to preppy teenagers, hip-hop teenagers, alternative teenagers, it would be completely irrelevant to all of those groups. But when we know that this is the group we're targeting and we know where they are, what they watch, where they are on social media, we can really precisely pinpoint this specific message to the specific people that we want to reach. Now, in contrast, here's a hip-hop ad, and I'm going to show you one from the FDA instead of kind of the previous campaign, since that's what's going on right now.
You see, my mom's double shift wasn't in vain. Low achiever, at risk, disregarded. I would rip that chain. Pain, disease, death, cigarettes were to blame. But I overcame the block. And the shock when my grandpa's lung cancer caused by cigarettes was caught, distraught, and left alone. Had three generations in one home. Not broken, but awoken. Setting sights on CEO of independence as my goal. So I reject cigarettes to regain control.
Keep it fresh. Live tobacco free.
So this is a new campaign that we just launched with the FDA. And so again, a totally different message, totally different audience, totally different look to everything. But we're still talking about tobacco, but we're talking about tobacco in a way that's relevant to this particular group. And then the last one I'll show you is alternative, back to Virginia, and this is the Psych campaign.
What's up, Psych? This is John, and we are Wizard Flake. We always have a reputation of crazy shows. Plants being thrown, stage dives, walls of death. There's no limits. We don't smoke. I don't know if you've ever been in that band, but there's plenty of ways to relax. Go for a run, go work out.
Smoking in venues is the worst.
It destroys your throat. Really slowing me down. It's really hurting my performance.
We are Wizard Flake. We support Psych and smoke free scene.
Check out psychva.com.
So Psych has a unique challenge, which is that this is a counterculture peer crowd. They don't believe anything that you tell them, right? But every ad that Psych puts out there has a real band in it, a real band that they recognize talking about how they don't smoke, directly countering the notion that, hey, every rock star smokes cigarettes. And so they've worked with about 20 bands now and go to local shows and are part of the local culture to try and break this idea that alternative rock is associated with using tobacco. And Psych, I'll just show you one evaluation, and we don't have time to get too deep into it, but it's an evaluation of looking at the events and the teens who kind of go to rock shows regularly in Virginia. And over the 4 years that Psych has been going on, we've seen that tobacco use rate, particularly amongst alternative teens, go down consistently. So and I'm in marketing, so I can't help but market. There is this great conference coming up, and you have a flyer for it, and you should check it out. And there's going to be this email sign-up thing. No pressure if you're interested. We'll send you an email about it. All right. Thank you very much.